Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Exodus 20 and verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated. Our Father, we pray as we come to your word that you would give us a second wind so that we can hear and heed what you have to say to us in Holy Scripture. Help our time to be fruitful and to be a blessing as we think about your holy commandments, knowing its holiness imparts your holy character of who you are and what you're like and what you desire. And we pray that you would help us in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. We must be reminded that a proper understanding of God's moral law, the Ten Commandments, is always the foundation of that is always for us to remember that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law by Jesus Christ. We have been delivered from the bondage to our sin. We've been delivered from God's wrath against us breaking his commandments. We've been delivered from God's just punishment for our sin because of rebelling against him if we are in Jesus Christ. And this law now is a mirror for us who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ as a mirror to show us what is right and what is wrong and what works before God are his delights. And so we never want to look at these commandments saying how we can keep these to merit God's acceptance, but only as the avenue for God's redeemed people, for us as saints, of what it looks like to walk in love before God and before our neighbor. What it looks like to please him and do what is his delights. And so now we are on the third commandment. We've talked about the first commandment, which is about no other gods before the true God. The second commandment is only worshiping him as he commands and not making images of him, the second commandment. And now the third commandment and how we are to relate to his name. And so the main point of this sermon is the duties required and sins forbidden in the third commandment with the reason given. The duties required and sins forbidden in the third commandment with the reason given. My first point, the duties required. My second point, the sins forbidden. And my third point, the reason given. So again, first point, the duties required. Again, the commandment says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And so what is required positively, that's obviously put negatively, to not take God's name in vain. The positive, what is required in that commandment, implied in that commandment, is that we are to have a holy and reverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word, and works. Because under the word name in Scripture is all that represents that person or being. Not merely their name in the bare sense, but everything connected with that person or being. And so we are to keep the third commandment to have a holy, meaning a set apart, and a reverent, which means with fear and awe, use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word, and works. In Psalm 89 and verse 7, it says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. And so there is to be great, God is to be greatly feared amongst his saints and held in reverence by those around him. And so we are to have holy thoughts, holy words, holy deeds as it relates to the name of God. We are to respect it. We are to use it wisely and with reverence and godly fear. If you turn with me to Malachi 1, we see an emphasis of God rebuking his people because they're taking his name in vain. Malachi chapter 1. And I'll be reading verses 6 to 8. Malachi 1, 6 to 8. It says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar. But you say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts." So we see here that God's name can be taken in vain, namely God can be treated with irreverence, even if we are not using any words, but by them offering to God lame animals, blind animals, by treating his table as if it was irrelevant or contemptible. They say they are, by doing that, not giving God the honor and reverence due his name. And so by bringing to God these sacrifices that were not according to what God wanted, they were taking God's name in vain. And so we see here by implication then, we are to give God his due worship as a way to honor and reverence his name. We are to give him acceptable worship. But to connect it with this is our heart behind it is to be out of fear and reverence and awe and trembling of the God of heaven and earth. And so God is to be greatly feared in the assembly of the saints. There is to be a fear and a trembling and a reverence the way we treat and speak about and think about God. We see this pictured very well in the Lord's Prayer when the Lord Jesus Christ teaches his people to pray to God as our Father, because we can have intimacy with God because he's our Father, but he's our Father in heaven. He's our Father who is in heaven. And so we see this balance of we can have intimacy with God, we can have a relationship with God that is near and close, but we must always remember that he's our Father in heaven. And so what is commanded positively is the way we think about God, the way we speak about God, and the way we act towards God is to be filled with reverence. We can break the third commandment in our thoughts. So the positive, to stay positive here because the duty is required, is by having good thoughts of God and believing and trusting God and believing that he knows what is best and all these different things, even in trial and suffering, that is reverencing God's name, even in your thoughts of him, of thinking well of God and thinking that his ways are best. And we are to speak well of God. We are always to praise him and honor him and glorify him in the way we speak of him and speak about him to others. We are to speak well of God. We think sometimes about that, about other people, but preeminently we are to speak well of God. That our words about him are to be positive because we know he is the God who is good and he does good. We are in our actions to live a life where we are living before the face of God, seeking by our lifestyle to reverence his name. And so the third commandment is not merely what we say, but it's also how we think and how we act. When we disobey God, when we violate his commandments, that is a way of taking his name in vain. But when we obey his commandments, that's a way to keep his name holy. And this is all that Jesus is really getting at in the first petition in the Lord's Prayer when he says, we are to pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. We are to set aside God's name as holy, view it as holy, speak about it as holy, act before God in holiness. And what is the key way? If God's name is holy, and we're to have a holy, reverent use to his name, what is one of the key ways that we can seek to do that? By living a holy life ourselves. By seeking to put off sin and put on righteousness. That is a key way that we can reverence God's name. By seeking to live a holy life before his face. Before his face. And so we should treat God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word and works with reverence and godly fear. My second point now, though, the sins forbidden. The sins forbidden. What is then, therefore, forbidden is when we use God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word and works in a flippant and irreverent way. Our thoughts, words, and deeds concerning God's name should not be irreverent. We blaspheme God's name when we are angry at his providence to us in our life. We take his name in vain. When even if we would never say it out loud, when we are angry and grumble and complain in our heart about God's providence to us, we take his name in vain. We blaspheme his name when we think that God's purposes are not good. We blaspheme his name when we doubt that he means all things for our good. We blaspheme his name when we don't believe that all things are working together for our good if we're in Christ. We blaspheme his name when our speech about him, even not using his name, but our speech about him is flippant. And even when we use his attributes in a flippant manner. Let me show you this in Isaiah 57. Because again, the name of God is more than merely what we think about a name. It constitutes all that represents that person or that being. And so Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. It says, "For thus says the High and Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." What we see here is God's name is actually referred to as holy, capital H. That's his name. What the point is getting at here is God's attributes can be a reference to God's name. We could say God's name is good or holy or righteous because we cannot separate who God is from his attributes. God's name is holy. And so not only are we to not use God's proper name like Jehovah or saying Jesus Christ or anything like that in a flippant way, we also are not to use the attributes of God in a flippant way because God's name is holy. Throughout the Bible, God is called the Holy One. That's his name, the Holy One, connecting his attribute and his name, the Holy One. And so we are, as the Catechism teaches us when we were going through that we are to reverence and not be irreverent to God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word, and works. One key way that happens is when people use the word holy in a flippant manner. That's a key way it can happen, like holy cow or holy something else. When we just use that word flippantly, when God's name is holy and we use that word as something that is flippant. And it could be other attributes as well. When we use them instead of saying another word, we use either God's name or God's attributes to express disgust, excitement, or these type of things. And I know using God's attributes is sometimes the more sanitized way, but we can never separate God's attributes from God's name. And so we ought to have a not have an irreverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word, and works. And so we are to have a holy use of those things and not be irreverent towards them. If you turn with me to Colossians 3, we see this call in the New Testament to put off this sin. Colossians 3 and verse 8. Colossians 3 and verse 8. This is in the context of us being risen with Christ and setting our minds on things above, and therefore the need to put off sin. And verse 8 of Colossians 3 says, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." So we see there, one of the things that is commanded to be put off by the child of God, one of those things is put off blasphemy, which is using God's name in an irreverent, irresponsible way. And some people will say, though, especially in the world, they'll say, when I say, "Oh my G-O-D," or I say the name of Jesus, I don't mean anything by it. And we say to them, that's the point. That's the entire point. By you saying God's attributes flippantly or God's name flippantly and say, "I don't mean anything by it," what you're saying is you are thoughtlessly taking God's name or God's perfections on your mouth and using them as a way of expressing disgust or excitement or these type of things. And that's the whole point. Taking a name in vain is using it for a meaningless purpose. A meaningless purpose. If you say in prayer that you pray to God and you say, "We come to you, the Holy One," or "We come to you whose name is holy," that's reverent, that's proper. But when we use it in a way that's flippant and not thinking about God, not worrying about those things, then we're using it in a way that's irreverent. Irreverence. So God wants the words that come out of our mouth to be reverent and filled with awe. This also affects as well as it relates to putting off irreverent speech. Not only what we say out of our mouths, but what we're willing and comfortable to be entertained by. What we're willing and comfortable to be entertained by. And so if people are making jokes and making light of the Word of God through TV shows or movies or music, or they're taking God's name in vain, or they're using God's ordinances or works and they're making them seem like they're silly, then those are things we don't want to be entertained by. We don't want to be entertained when people are with their lips speaking God's name in vain. Because we might say, well, we would never say it ourselves, but we enjoy being entertained. We can be enjoy being entertained by those things or say it's not that big of a deal. But this is one of the sins that God says we are to put off. We are to put off blasphemy. We are to put off blasphemy, which means we are to put off thoughts that are irreverent towards God. We are to put off words that are irreverent towards God, and we are to put off behavior that is flippant and does not care what God wants. It could be taking God's name in vain. Could also be, "I know that's what God says, but I'm going to do something different." That's taking God's name in vain. Because we know that what God said, but we are going to do it our own way. We are going to choose our own path. And all these things are taking God's name in vain. Positively, again, the duty required is to use God's name in our thoughts, words, and actions in a way that magnifies Him and hallows Him and reverences Him. And negatively, it's when we use God's names in our thoughts, words, or deeds in a way that's irreverent, that is flippant, that doesn't have value towards the name of God. We see this with Pharaoh. Pharaoh is a great example of a man who took God's name in vain. In the scriptures, "Who is the Lord that I should serve Him?" That's what the Pharaoh says. Who is the Lord that I should serve, that I should obey Him? Who's God that I should obey Him? Or Herod, when Herod in the book of Acts raises up and he gives this oration, and they're saying, "The voice of a God, not a man." And he's receiving the praise for himself. And God strikes him dead because he did not give glory to God. We see throughout the Word of God people taking God's name in vain, whether by their actions or by their very words. And now we see, lastly, the reason given. For the Lord, or because the Lord, because Jehovah will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. We could do this in secret and no one might know. We might not receive discipline if we're children from parents or any discipline from the church or anything like that. But God, but Jehovah will not hold those guiltless who take his name in vain. God is serious about his name. His name there is holy. That's a way we can describe God. We could call him holy, and that would be a proper name for God because his attributes are connected with his name. God's name is holy, and so he will not let people get away. He will not hold people guiltless who take his name in vain. He will not hold them guiltless who take his name in vain. When we sin against God and use his holy name in ways that are unseemly or improper to his holiness, he will not let those people get away with their sin. And so God is serious about us using his name properly. God is serious about us keeping his name holy. And he's also serious about us, as we have opportunity, telling people to not take God's name in vain. We don't always have the ability or those type of things, but as we're able, we should encourage people not to take the name of God in vain. We should respectfully tell them, please don't take God's name in vain. We should ourselves not seek to take it, and insofar as it depends on us, we should seek to not let others take God's name in vain. God will not hold him guiltless. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And so how do we apply a text like this, this one verse? First, without Christ, this is a sin that will take people to hell. And they can only find rescue for their sin in and through Jesus Christ. God will not hold him guiltless, and all of us in different ways have taken God's name in vain. And if it's not for Christ, there's no way that we can find forgiveness of our sin. There's no way we can be rescued unless we are found in Jesus Christ. Second, as a church, as we think about as saints, we must worship God with heartfelt reverence and godly fear, because that is the way our holy God is to be worshiped. If we think about it this way, in light of worship, the first commandment is who we worship. The second commandment is how we worship, or in what way we worship. The third commandment is what spirit we are to worship. And the fourth commandment is what day we are to worship. And so the third commandment is telling us that we are to worship God in reverence. God wants to worship him in spirit and truth. We could say the second commandment is about truth. We're to worship God in truth, according to his word. The third commandment is in spirit, in our spirit, with a desire to worship him with reverence and godly fear. We must in our thoughts, words, and deeds value and prize God's name. We must value it. We must avoid thoughts or words or deeds that are flippant and irreverent towards God's name. Putting those things off, forsaking those things, killing those things, putting those things off. And when we stumble, or when we feel like we've sinned, or you hear a sermon like this and know you've sinned in different ways, confess it, forsake it, and find mercy from God. Confess it, forsake it, and find mercy from God. But we live in such a culture that taking God's name in vain is so common that we can be desensitized to it. Similar to the sin of abortion, like we're talking about this weekend. It's so common to hear people use God's names and titles and attributes and ordinances and word and works in a flippant way that we become used to it. And we become desensitized to it. But God wants us to know, he will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. He will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And so we should be mindful of the way we think and speak and act about God, because God is serious about not having his name taken in vain. And we need, therefore, the empowering of the Holy Spirit to have proper thoughts, proper words, and proper actions as it relates to God. And so it should be your desire from the heart to have reverent worship to God and to have the words that come out of your mouth about him to be reverent and to be filled with not taking his name in vain, but filled with awe and wonder. But also another application, and this is something that's easier to fall into, is praying to God without thinking. Just going through the motions of prayer without really thinking about what we're saying and what we're asking, and that we're approaching the throne of grace. And so may God help us to keep his name holy, because his name is holy. And therefore help us worship the one who is the Holy One in spirit and truth. Amen. Our Father, we pray you apply this text and that we would have a reverent use of your name. In Jesus' name, amen.